99.3 Nigeria Info. We're broadcasting live from Etimi and Christian Victoria Island in Lagos here. So far, how much are you convinced about the political office candidates, manifestos, their debates, town hall programs? I mean, you must have seen quite a number of them going on, still ongoing, and other election campaign platforms where presidential candidates from various political parties are being engaged and interacting with Nigerians. Should Nigerians up on performance of the presidential candidates at the debate despite their major contenders like Bola Tinubu of APC being absent and not represented, and Atiku not appearing in person but represented? I'm hearing that he's going to appear very soon. Are these debates and town halls sufficient enough to judge what would likely, you know, pan out in the 2023 polls? Will these debates and engagement thus far, the way it's going now, are you okay with what is being debated on? Are you okay with the trend of conversations at these town halls, at these debates? I mean, how about looking at their manifestos? Have you had the chance to take a look at any of their manifestos? Today we'll take a look at, you know, what presidential candidates have been saying at town halls, as well as, you know, their manifestos. About 20 presidential candidates, 18 candidates, according to report now, are gearing up to contest the 2023 election, the presidential election that will be conducted on Saturday, February 25. 18 of them by various political parties. Bola Tinubu of the All Progressives Congress as being one of the front runners. Peter Obi of the Labour Party is also there. Rabiu Musa Kwankwaso is coming through with a whirlwind kind of force. Quite a number of people didn't expect the kind of force that Kwankwaso, I mean, a lot of people mentioned it at the beginning, but there were talks that he was probably going to, you know, defect and, you know, just not defect really, but just what they call it, step aside, you know, for one of the candidates. Yeah. There's also Kola Abiola somewhere of the PRP, People Redemption Party. There's Atiku Abubakar of the PDP as well. So it's being said that never before in the history of Nigeria have we had an election cycle this keenly contested. But Bolaon is still here. Bolaon, how do you see the trend of conversation going on right now, different town halls and debates and all sorts of engagements by these presidential candidates?
Okay, I would like to quickly correct something that I must have said during the newspaper review.
Okay.
NNPP is actually a very old party. I must have made a statement that connotes
they just created it.
Yeah. What must have happened is, you know, the way how Nigeria has run on as a two-party, as a two-horse
race
for so long. But this time around, and all these parties were there all this while. But, you know, they will come to election in some level. They will score 100, they will score 50, maybe in their relation. What has only changed with NNPP is that Rabiu Kwankwaso took over more or less the saddle of that party a few months ago. And the trajectory has been beyond what we have ever seen about that party or about any third party whatsoever in this republic. Okay. What have people been saying? We can start even from their manifestos. I've read about four of those manifestos.
Okay.
Labour, NNPP, PDP, and APC. There are still a few missing things there and there, in my opinion. For example, apart from NNPP, none of them took the environment as an important bullet in their discussions.
The environment.
Yes.
Excuse me.
And why is the environment important? It's important because it could rubbish every other thing that you are talking about if you don't take care of the environment. In the news today, we heard something about the Lekki axis and how if we don't pay attention to that place, ocean will come and wipe a chunk of it away. We've seen what flooding has done earlier this year.
That's right.
It means that right from financing, you give people money to go and do agriculture all of the parties have spoken about how they will use agriculture to, you know, deliver food security and all of the rest. If you don't pay attention to the environment, you will not achieve that agriculture thing you're talking about. If it is infrastructure you want to spend money on, you can go ahead and be building the roads. If you don't pay attention to the environment, it will come one day and wipe away all those things you have done. So I believe the environment should be an important bullet and not something you just gloss over. I think the APC manifesto spoke about, recharging the Chad Basin. It's an environmental issue. But not, I don't see the environment as something that we should be mentioning in passing. You have to dedicate something to it to show that you are thinking about the environment. The environment
is that not because that is what they think that people, you know, want to hear more?
You see, it might have been an omission. Don't forget that in Nigeria we have not really paid the right level of attention to the environment. This flooding, the flooding for this year, is a wake-up call. A lot of states have been in quote chopping money. There is this money that federal government make available to
ecological fund.
And they are not investing in any ecological management of anything, even for at the federal level. When was, I think maybe Shiroro Dam must have been the last dam we built. Even that one will be maybe like 30 years ago. When last did we invest in infrastructure that will help us with water management? Do we see water as a resource? Is it something that, of course, we even have Ministry of Water Resources.
That's right.
So that shows that on the face of it, we believe that water is a resource. So why are we not giving it the right level of attention? I still remember vividly when Ethiopia was going to do that, its hydropower, whatever. At some point, Egypt said it was really willing to go to war with Ethiopia over the damming of the Nile. Why? Because it will affect his own water management. Egypt do a lot of agriculture. So right. If you take water away... So environment is an important part that I don't think that these parties are speaking to at the right level. One thing that is missing, again, in literally all of these things, is the discussion around the header farmer crisis. There were some that mentioned it, you know, just casually in the body in one corner somewhere. It could be either of two things. It could be that they see it as a slippery path that nobody want to, you know, go down there. You don't want to talk about it because you're not so sure of how it might be received in certain voting quarters. But the way I look at it is, and that is the question I would have loved to put across to any of the candidates. Do you think that the farmer header problem is a national security issue? If you think it's a national security issue, how can you then discuss segment of your security without dedicating an entire bullet to farmer header problem? None of them did. By the time you finish reading their security section, you're still wondering, is it that they did not consider farmer header problem as a major Nigerian issue? It's a security issue that has economic implication. So it is not... And if we fix it, we can have a double gain. Number one, we'll be able to succeed in certain aspect of our security management. We will also be able to fix the economic side of that issue, because there is a serious economic side. Serious economic side, because the headers are there. When there is a problem between headers and farmers, there are situations in which farmers cannot go to their farms because they are scared. That is food security issue. There is a possibility also that we don't even have proper records of these headers and their activities, which means that we are losing out on a huge economy, the cattle economy. How do you reform something you are not even taking proper account of?
Right.
So those are some of the general things that I observe on the manifesto. Then at the level of the engagement by some of these people, we are still not able to drill them deep on some of the things that are even existing. You see, there was one of the parties that said, oh, JAMB will be free, WAEC will be free, tertiary education was, you know, will be free. It would be nice to ask how that person intends to finance it. Should JAMB and WAEC or whatever, or NECO, even be a government affair, or government should just be a regulator? It's something to also think about. In several countries across the world, those things are handled by the private sector, while there is a regulator on the side of the government to ensure that things are running well. The other part is that tertiary education that you say is going to be free. In 1972-73, when the first strike was said to have happened in the tertiary institution, it was about welfare and funding. 50 years after, it's still about welfare and funding. So if somebody is making a promise in that direction, we must be able to, he must have thought through exactly how he's going to finance all this free this, free that, that is there. It would also be nice to ask that kind of a candidate about the issue of targeting subsidies. Because look, subsidy is not evil. It's not a bad thing. It just have to be located at the right junction and must be properly implemented. A situation in which you just want everybody to go to school free. You don't have money. And you're excluding people who can pay. Some people can pay. Why do you, people who can pay, why do you want them to do it free? Why don't they you let them pay? In fact, you, if use the money they even pay to pay for those ones who cannot afford.
Cannot afford it.
There are several models for doing this, but it is important to be able to ensure that the candidates have thought through this other process, so that they're not just making promises that when the push comes to shove, you can't implement it.
I'm going to talk to you about the quality now. We've talked about some of the things that, you know, they've not really talked about. But the things, the few things that they've talked about, you know, what's the quality in the things that they've talked about? I hear a lot of them, you know, talk about privatization of, you know, what do you call it, restructuring. I've heard some of them, you know, talk about other areas of our economy. For instance, some have talked about devolution of powers to states, electricity, agriculture, and all of that. What's the quality of the content of what they have, you know, talked about? There have been debates that have involved Omowole Sowore of the AAC, Prince Adewale Adebayo of the SDP, the APGA presidential candidate as well, Professor Peter Omeyadi. You have Yabagi Sunny of the Action Democratic Party, ADP, and a host of others as well who've been part of one debate or one town hall or the other, and it's still continuing to as we speak right now. But let's look at the quality, the robust nature of the engagement we've had so far. I've spoken with some colleagues who have said that this time around, quite a number of the candidates and even the media have been able to bring in, you know, some quite a number of other candidates as it was, as against what it used to be in the past, where the focus had always been on the major parties. Now the net has been expanded and we have more engagement now. And to them, it's a good improvement in terms of quality of engagement. To some others of my colleague, it's more or less like people are not, some of these candidates are still holding back, you know, some of their plans, so that, you know, nobody gets to hijack them in one way or the other, because according to them, they trust, they know what some of these guys can do. They know the kind of ideas that they've shared, you know, off camera. Then the moment you put them on camera, you begin to see them watch what they say and count their words and all of that. And to them, it doesn't mean that these candidates don't have what it takes, you know, to deliver. They're just looking at their chances of the ideas being stolen.
No. If this is about service, if it's about the Nigerian citizens, there's nothing like somebody stealing your idea. Because if you don't win, let that person that eventually wins be able to see that, oh, there was that candidate that had a brilliant idea. In fact, what I expect their teams to be doing is that when one of the other candidates is speaking, discussing ideas, your team should take their notes and observe those issues where that other candidate has a better solution. You want to serve the people. You want to improve the country. That's what you're saying. So that you can also take those solutions on board of what you want to do if you become the winner. So the issue of making it a secret is ridiculous. It shouldn't be. You should be proud. Get on that podium. Talk to us about your idea. Forget about somebody stealing. If exact thing you are saying, we see somebody else saying it the next day, we will know that he has stolen your idea. Now, won't we know?
Let's pick them one after the other. Security. Which of these candidates impressed you with whatever plan they have as regards security? I mean, you've even been part of some of these town halls. Which amongst them would you say has maybe a very potent solution to our insecurity issues?
Okay.
And we're going to touch on economy, we're going to touch on power, we'll touch agriculture, we'll touch healthcare as well.
By the time you read through some of this stuff, you see that in most part, they are similar. For the most part.
The approach.
So you see everybody talking about security, saying, oh, we don't have enough people, we will recruit. What you might see differently is, say, an NMPP being specific about figures, saying, I will go up to a million for Nigerian police, a million for the military.
But they didn't explain as to how they're going to fund it, because
exactly. So if somebody goes from, say, 250 to a million, you'll probably be tripling or quadrupling.
We're looking at trillions of naira. Quadrupling. About three trillion.
Exactly. So how you fund it? These are some of the areas Nigerians must ask questions. How do you intend to fund it? So there's the issue of technology as well. Literally all of them mentioned, have recognized the fact that there is a room for technology and that they will deploy technology. But the missing link across the four major ones that I have read is the one I mentioned, which has to do with the header farmer, which I believe is a national security issue. A lot of them also did not talk about the role of being able to make people answerable to their sins and how that could impact security. What I mean by that, yes. So we look at security only from those guys in the bush that are carrying the guns or doing the kidnapping. How about those guys in cosy offices, or who are even big people, politicians?
Remember the Mamu case?
Who are funding? And for as long, if you cut off the funding today, the war will know the impact of those people will nosedive dramatically. But for as long as this funding is there, for as long as for 13, 12 years, Nigeria has not been able to prosecute one sponsor, those things will continue along that line. So what you will find in most of the manifesto is people trying to rope that into the issue of, I will deal with corruption. It would have been nice to say that on that security, I will deal with this matter in this way. Even when we make arrests and we keep them in some cells where somebody will come and free them someday, or where they will become an object of negotiation sometimes down the line. Why are they not in the court? Why are they kept there? So all those issues have to be there. So on security, I will say literally all of them spoke well to security. In fact, for three of them, security was the number one item they discussed.
Okay.
And for another one, I think it was the second item, for the fourth one. That shows that they see the importance of security. But those four, none of them spoke to Katu Hedafam.
None of them at all.
No. Just walked away.
That's a shame. We're going to take one call before we head out to our first break this hour. Let's 01277719930, 01277192993, and 01277399. Female only line is 01465719. I want to talk to you about the economy when we return. Who impressed you the most?
Good.
As regards your plan for the economy. Let's see who's here. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Yes, you're from Oba.
Please turn off your radio quickly.
Okay, let me do it. I've just done that.
Yes, go on, please.
The present ruling party, when they were canvassing for full vote then, they made promises now, and most of these promises were not fulfilled.
Okay.
Right? Hello?
Go on. You have a very limited time.
What are the machineries that will make them accountable if they fail their promise? It's very easy to say, I will do this, I will do that, I will reach to high heavens, I will take you to El Dorado.
Yeah. Mm. That's noted. Let's leave it there because we're due for a break. Lagos, let's head out. When we return, we'll talk some more here on Nigeria in First Morning Crossfire.
I will respond to that question.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Very, very important question, really. We'll be back. Stay here.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to The Crossfire. It's 8:47 from our time here. We have about 6 minutes to go on the show. So that's why we have said for 2 days, this is what we're going to talk about. We have discussed insecurity. We have other areas that we want to touch on. But Bolaon, let's quickly, I'm Sheriff Quadric. Bolaon Olojade is here, by the way. And nice to meet you too. Let's touch on what the caller said before the break about how we can hold these people accountable to whatever it is that they promise.
Okay, let me start by saying that the quality of engagement this time around is much better than what we had before. It was speaking about promises made by politicians in the past. One of the ones that is popular on the social media, let's just mention, I don't know whether I said it or not, was that, and $1 will be 1 naira.
Mm.
And the question is, did we ask him how? Mm. Because in reality, the devil is in the details. When the way our campaign had been in the past, it's more of a one-directional talk in which the candidate mounts the podium and start to tell you what he will do.
Hmm.
Or they write a manifesto and they hang it on the website of INEC, where a lot of people have never even read any of those manifestos anyway. So what we are doing right now is a lot better because there is now some engagement. I'm not saying we are quite there, but it's a lot more robust than what we used to have. And we still have more than two months, to continue this level of engagement. Let's begin to drill down on each of those kind of, when they say, I want to do something, I will do something. Let's test their understanding of what they are talking about. Let's be able to know that they even understand the problems and then their solutions, the thought process that goes into their solution and their actual solution. So this will help to keep this thing in our joint consciousness.
Yeah.
And we can ask questions when they come into our office. The accountability structure also needs to improve in the real sense of it.
Mm, indeed. We'll take a few more calls. Then tomorrow, God willing, we'll talk education. We'll talk agriculture as well. We'll talk health. These are very critical areas that these candidates and their hosts need to really, really drill down on. Very critical. 01277-0993. Good morning to you.
Very good morning.
Morning to you.
Welcome. Excuse me. I understand that they will tell us how they will do it. If they don't do all this thing they are saying they will do, because they will all come up with three stories. How do we hold them accountable? They are telling how they will do it. How? What do we do? Can they be sued? Because anybody can come out to say anything, any sweet thing. You can say you will give us 100 million every day and pull 100 million people out of poverty every day and all those things.
Yeah.
How? If they don't do it, what do we do? If they don't do all these things. Because who do we trust? That's the thing. Who do we trust? Because
they're
missing all these things.
Thank you. It's almost the same
question. We don't have midterm elections, unfortunately.
We don't have.
But there are structures for impeachment, which is very strong, very difficult to implement in the under Nigerian constitution, because that is the way you can remove the president. Otherwise, we are constrained to wait for another 4 years and kick out any party or aspirant or candidate that did not deliver on their promise.
It's been done before. It can be done again.
It can be done again.
Let's take another call. Good morning to you. Oh, we lost that. Let's take this one here. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sharif.
Yes, please. Good morning, sir.
Well done.
Thank you.
You know, all these politicians with all their manifesto, they are all their program. You know, all of them, they are just deceiving Nigeria. Just to be there. Just to be there. Nothing, they can't do anything. They can't. See what we have passed through since 8 years now. See. See what we are passed through.
Thank you for your thought. Good morning to you. Good morning. Oh, we lost that call already. It's 8:52. I cannot even risk taking any call right now, but now we need to go. But tomorrow, we'll talk education first. Have you heard any of them talk, you know, specifically how they're going to revamp education?
Yeah. The section on education with the APC manifesto is fantastic. Lovely.
Well, we have to go. We really have to go. Thank you so much, Gwalan, for coming.
The pleasure is mine.
I'm Sherif Quadri. You can see me on social media at Sherif Quadri. Good morning to you.
Stay one step ahead with the latest news and trending conversations here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Don't tell people, are you added weight? Why are you losing weight?
Yes.
Are you eating? No, it's not your business.
That money, the pass is good. That finally.
We should be patient and pray to God that God is going to answer our prayer.
Please, this is not all about prayer. It's not like everything is not prayer. That is Nigerian mentality. It's not about finding happiness in your home.
Hey guys, it's me again and my fellow football lovers. By now, you all know that the Qatar 2022 World Cup is upon us and the excitement is even more intense than before. I mean,
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, you're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a